Well, listen, church. 10:04. He's on his way. We're going to wait on him. Yeah, nailed it. Anyway, some of them walk, some trot, some lope. They all get here. Church, we got classrooms for them, and so it's our responsibility to help these children, to help moms and dads understand this gospel message, share it with them, and so they're going to go back to those classrooms. So let's us pray for those teachers. Let's us pray for wisdom and spiritual revelation that they might share this truth with these children and that they would hear it. So pray with me. All of us cowboys, let's pull our hats off. And all of us, you did what? You're not what? Oh, you are a cowboy. You look like one. So do you have a hat on? You don't even have to worry about taking it off then. How cool was that? But the rest of us, let's do that, and then let's everybody bow our head and close our eyes so we can focus on Jesus while we pray. Because we always want to focus while we pray. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for everything that you do, for all that you are, for what you've given, and how you take care of us. So it's our prayer that you'll open the hearts of these children today as they take these lessons into themselves, that these teachers could share that in a way that they'll give it easily. Lord, we just ask for your blessing. In the precious, holy name of your Son, on very authority of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. See, they'll walk up here, but they trot and lope, almost all of them, to the back. Well, not all of them. Speedy there, she's still at a walk. There we go. Everybody get a cup of coffee? Hiya, hot and black. Just the way it's supposed to be. I'm not judging you if you add anything to your coffee. That's a lie. I'm going to have to stop that. I just got to get right to it this morning. There's so many things that people call this week. This is actually a Palm Sunday. So this is the Sunday before Jesus goes to the cross, which is a Friday, and then comes out of that grave a week from today. That's when everybody goes there and recognizes Easter Sunday. That's what we know. But what's going on today is this part in Scripture that we know of as Palm Sunday, this day that Jesus is allowing the world to recognize him as the Messiah. And he's not only allowing that, he's embracing that. He's saying, it's on now. And he wants people to recognize him, and he wants people to grasp that truth. And so we recognize this Palm Sunday because as he comes into Jerusalem this morning, everybody's out there going, yay, Jesus. And they're throwing their coats out and they're cutting palm branches and they're laying them down. And he's riding into town on a donkey as the king. And he's allowing people to say, yay, the king, the Messiah. And he's embracing that. That's what this day is all about in this Passion Week that we have. And what I want us to grasp is how we prepare for this. We spend a lot of time, a lot of us, just going to church on Sunday, and then we pretty much forget about our faith the rest of the week until we show back up on Sunday. But we're pretty dang committed to that Sunday deal. And that's just barely preparation. At the end of the day, preparation is something that we're always about. So let's us open up our Bibles. If you ain't got one, poke your hand up. Let's get you one. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 19. And if you ain't got a Bible, it's so important. This church is so cool because we buy Bibles by the truckload and we just give them away. So get you one. Write in it. Color in it. Make notes in it. Write stuff on it. Do what you do in it. If you're bored, draw pictures in it. But have you a Bible? Have you a Bible that is in your hand so that when you think of it, you'll open it up and you'll read it. It's the Word of God, the living Word of God in our hands. So read with me in Luke 19. I'm going to be way over there in, in the 12th chapter, 12th verse of Luke 19. Actually, I'm going to start in 11. And this is right before Jesus comes into town, riding on a donkey, and they're throwing palm branches out, right? And here's what Luke reminds us. The crowd was listening to everything that Jesus said. And because he was near in Jerusalem, he told them a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God was going to begin right away. Grasp that. So what Jesus is about to say is for you and I. Not just for them. It's for you and I. See, they was waiting on the Messiah. They all said, hey, yay, Jesus. Boy, he's here. It's on now. It's on now. Jesus wanted everybody to understand what his mission is, his purpose is, what he's doing. And so here it is, and Jesus is going to say it pretty plain. A nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king, and then to return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants, and he divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, invest this for me while I'm gone. But his people hated him, and they sent a delegation after him to tell everybody, well, we don't want him to be our king. You recognize what Jesus is doing here? Grasp this, because he's looking right at people saying this. Well, after he was crowned king, Jesus said, he returned and he called in the servants to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profits was. And the first servant reported, Master, I invested your money and made 10 times the original amount. Well done, the king exclaimed. You're a good servant. You've been faithful with the little I entrusted to you. So you'll be governor. You're going to be governor of 10 cities as your reward. And the next servant said, Master, I invested your money. I made 5 times that original amount. Well done, the king said. You will be governor over 5 cities. But then the third fellow come in, and he brought back only the original amount of money. And he said, Master, I hid your money and I kept it safe. I was afraid because you're a hard man to deal with, taking what isn't yours, harvesting crops that you didn't plant. You wicked servant, the king roared. Your own words condemn you. If you knew that I'm a hard man who takes what isn't mine and harvests crops I don't plant, why didn't you deposit the money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. And then turning to the other standing around, the king said, take the money from that servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds, who already had been given his pound of silver. But Master, they said, he already got 10 pounds. And yeah, the king said, and to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken. And as for those enemies of mine who didn't want me to be their king, bring them in. And let's execute them right now here in front of me. I don't know if Jesus could say anything any plainer to anybody at any time. So that here's all of Israel hanging out, waiting for, and here coming into Jerusalem, and they're fixing to go, yay, Hosanna in the highest, Palm Sunday. They're celebrating Jesus. And right before that happens, Jesus says this. And I want us to recognize that in the old King James, it says that everybody was given a mina, your 1 pound of silver, whatever that was. So anyway, what that equals for you and me is everything that we have been given by God. Everything, all of our time, all of our money, all of our talents, all of our resources, everything that you and I have has been given. It's on loan from God. We've been given this one mina, this 1 pound of silver, however you want to say it. That's what Jesus says here. We've been given this, and it's on loan from God. And here's where we got to get to today. So Israel was waiting on Jesus to come because they thought Jesus was going to ride in and defeat their worst enemy ever, Rome. And Jesus is trying to clarify something. Our worst enemy isn't another man. It isn't another country. It isn't another person at all. Our worst enemy is Satan. Jesus has come to defeat Satan and death and hell one time for everybody. He's trying to make that point. Do we grasp it? Do we even get a hold of it in the smallest of way? Because we, just like Israel, we're just sitting here waiting on Jesus to show up. And what are we waiting on? To make us all better? To make it easier for me to live here in this world so that I have more? Or are we waiting on a Messiah whom is going to defeat Satan one time for the last time, throw him into that burning lake of fire forever and ever, and then we will be with him so we can celebrate and love. We got to get our head around. We're no different than Israel today. We're thinking along those same lines. Oh, yay, Jesus, but we're wanting to use him instead of be used. And we struggle with that. Can I say this? This is a struggle that I have. So average, and if I look at you, just say I'm looking at everybody because I do. But let's be honest. There's this 1 hour that we commit to our faith on a Sunday. And I don't know what you do with the rest of the 24. But of that 1 hour that we're going to show up here on Sunday, we spend about 30 minutes of it in the Word, learning to know God. We'll spend it, our plan is to spend 30 minutes worshiping and then another 30 minutes or so in the Word, hearing from God, listening, seeing what God's got to say. So can I tell you this? So if we add that up, 1 hour a week, that's 52 hours a year. That's just over 2 days a year that we need to practice, work at, learn, grasp the single most important thing in all of our lives. The single most important thing in our, oh, preacher, I do pray a lot. And every time you're mad, we all pray in the foxhole. How many times do you open up the Word? Do you have a time when you're committed to being? So what I want to say is church isn't where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be out there. We come in here to grasp, to learn, to be encouraged and stronger together so we can go out there and share this truth. To share this truth. That's such a... Our lives are supposed to reflect all the time, every day, every minute, Jesus. That's what our salvation is all about. So with that in mind, I want you to, don't forget this little lesson that Jesus told us in Luke, but I want you to trot to the right to the book of John, and I'll be in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And I'm going to be in the 20th verse of John chapter 12. So right before Jesus rides into town on the donkey, he reminds everybody what he's doing here. How are we supposed to grasp this? What are we going to do with our talents? Because he ain't being, and he's saying that the master's coming back, right? And so right here, this is after the triumphal entry. This is after Jesus rides into town. Now there's some time going on here. And in 12 and 20, here's what John reminds us of. Some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration, they paid a visit. They paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. Galilee's easy to say. Bethsaida is not. And they said, "Sir, we want to meet Jesus." And so Philip told Andrew about it, and they went to go get Jesus. So I'm going to just walk through this little verse slow, kind of like we do our Wednesday Bible study, because we got to grasp something. Can I tell you, everybody wants to see Jesus? These Greeks, they're not Jews. They're not Israel. They don't know. They don't know Yahweh. They want to meet Jesus just like everybody does. Some people want to meet Jesus so he can prove his godness to them. But some people want to meet Jesus because they want to worship him. But everybody wants to meet Jesus. Everybody wants to know the truth. Every single person in the world. Doesn't matter if you're lost or saved. And so when these Greeks show up and they ask, they want to meet Jesus, can I ask you if somebody showed up and said, "Hey, I'd like to meet Jesus," how would you reply? Oh, man. I'm going to bet most of us would say, "Well, I go to church on Sunday. Come with me." How many years have you been saying that? How many years have you been saying, "Oh, come to church with me"? And you know why you keep saying that over and over and over again? Is because you're not growing. Because you just absorb a little bit of something on Sunday, and then you figure, well, if anything comes up, I'll just send them to the preacher. There's elders at the church. There's laypeople. There's people there who will help. And God is calling you, just like He called me. We are no different. We're the same people. Could I show Him? Am I prepared? Am I encouraging anybody in the faith? You see, a growing faith is a sharing faith. And I want to ask you, how many of you literally have been dedicated to sharing your faith with anybody? Can I tell you, moms and dads? I hope this hurts a little bit. Nah, I say that because I ain't mean. I kind of am. But we have that class back there for those kids. You think that the 20 minutes they're back there every week is enough for them to know the gospel of Jesus? Take a hold of their faith? No, that's just a tiny seed planted. What they need is you. They need you to carry that on. Are you sharing and growing your faith with your children? That's not our responsibility. That's your responsibility. We want to steward them while we're here, just like we're doing in this room. Different sermon. Could we show Him? Could we show Jesus? Can we tell somebody why I believe? That freaks a bunch of people out. Could we tell people why we believe Jesus is our Lord and Savior? I'm going to bet a lot of us think, oh yeah, I could, but oh my gosh, please don't make me. Because we'd fumble around. We're saved and we know it, but we can't express it because we don't spend any time trying to do that. And you know what? You've got to learn. You have got to learn and understand who you are in Christ so that you can share that with somebody. Begin with your family. Begin with your spouse. Begin with the people closest to you. Because God is going to put people in your path, in your world, in front of you who want to see Jesus. And when He does, can you introduce them? Because no longer can we go get Jesus. We've just got to be the hands and feet of Jesus. People don't want to hear you quote the Bible. They want to see your life reflecting the gospel. That's a truth that we got to take a hold of. Folks need to see Jesus in us. So in the 23rd verse, Jesus said, those who love their life in this world are going to lose it. And those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. That's a hard truth for us to grasp. But the reality of that is that Jesus is saying, what is more important to you? What's the thing that you're going to take a hold of? This life, that truck, them horses, that sport, that game, your wife, your children. All of that is passing on in this broken world. You know the one thing that we all have in common? Eternity. Let's get that right. Jesus said, if you love your life, you're going to lose it. But if you care nothing for it, if you hate it, you'll keep it for eternity. And then in 26, He said, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor those who serve me. I just got to be honest about the reality of what Jesus is doing in my life. Because there was a lot of years in my life when I also just trusted that God was doing something. He had me. He allowed me to be the idiot that I was. Put up with me because He made me. He knows me. But the truth is that I've come to understand is that He didn't save me so that He could just save an idiot. He saved me because He wants me to do something with the gifts that He's given me, the talents that He's given me, the resources that He's given me. And you know what that thing is? The same for all of us. To go be the hands and feet of Jesus. To take this truth into that world where they also need. Because you and I are saved by faith. But you know why? Because we saw somebody. Because we knew somebody. Not because we just heard the word, but because we saw somebody who shared their faith. And they was willing to say, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. People who weren't scared. We saw the reality of Jesus in somebody and we were moved. We became saved. We accepted the gospel because we saw it in somebody. Not because we read words. Not because somebody quoted scripture. Not because of a preacher. But because somebody personal to us lived their life like Jesus in front of you and I. Their calling and our calling. Their calling and our calling. And Jesus is saying that God can only work with those boys that show up. Doesn't matter why you show up. He's not coming chasing you down. He's not going to kick your feet out from underneath of you and then talk to you while you're on the ground. God's waiting for you to show up. And here you are this morning. Maybe it's something out at that pen out there, but there you are. Maybe it's something that's going out here in the park lot. Maybe it's something in town. God can only work with the man that shows up. And thank you for showing up. Because God's working. God's got something going on. He's doing this for real in our lives, in this very moment. In this very moment, we're present. And so in 27 and 28, Jesus said, "Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray? Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason that I came. Father, bring glory to your name." I got to confess, I feel that way often. What am I doing? Oh, Lord, I hope that person doesn't ask me about Jesus. Oh, Lord, I don't do this to me. I struggle with this. What are you sending me to Zimbabwe? Lord, I'm fighting this. But do I pray, save me from this hour, Lord? Because I recognize that that's all God's doing is shaping me up for this time, this moment, this place. And it's not just me, it's you. It's all of us. Save me from this hour? No. The sovereign God of creation, the good God that created everything there is, got a plan. And I'm willing. Scared to death. But I'm willing. Are we preparing ourselves for what God's doing? This is the truth of our message. This is the thing that we try to get around in our head. Glorify your name. What does God mean when Jesus says, glorify your name? You ever roped a dummy? Got on that bucking barrel? Practiced doing something? And you practice and you practice and you practice. One day you got to enter up. One day you got to climb over that bucking chute back in that box. One day you got to show up and put it on the line because you've been practicing. You have to prove. You got to glorify. You got to satisfy. You got to fulfill the thing that you've been doing. So many of us have been in practice for way too long. God's calling us to show up, enter up, get in it, climb over the chute. Pull your rope. Nod your head. Glorify. Fulfill. Serve. Can I tell you this last part right here I want to read to you? It scares me more than anything else. John remembers to add this part. He said, "Then a voice spoke from heaven, saying, I have already brought glory to my name, and I'll do it again. And when the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, and others thought that the angels had spoken to him." 2,000 years ago, there was just two kinds of people. Them that hear, and them that don't. God's people, and everybody else. 2,000 years later, there's only two kinds of people. Those who hear, and those who don't. And I want to ask this morning, what do you hear? Are you just hearing noise? Is it just thunder? Are you just talking about, oh, I can't get a hold of nothing? Or do you hear the voice of God speaking to you? There's only two kinds of people. Them that hear and then that don't. When Paul in 1 Corinthians, he says, I passed on to you what was most important, to what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and resurrected. He paid our price. He took care of all that there is to take care of. And he's called us into his presence. Because remember last week, the mystery that Christ lives in you? That's the reality of our faith. All we've got to do is act on that. But the truth is, not all of us are saddled up with Jesus and our faith. Not all of us are willing to enter into that because we think that pony's kind of a bronc. I want to ask you who you're saddled up with. I heard a story a preacher told me. I think he was a preacher. Let's just say he was a theologian. There was this photographer. He was hired to go take pictures of a terrible forest fire in the mountains. And he couldn't get close to it. He wanted to take pictures, but he just couldn't get close to it. He couldn't recognize anything. The smoke and the heat, it ruined everything. So he called the office. He said, man, I gotta get above this thing to take pictures. They said, hey, there's a little one-horse town down the road with the airport. We got a plane waiting for you there. And he jumps in his truck and he drives down there and he pulls up that little one-horse town airport and he sees a little plane out there on the runway running. And he just grabs his stuff and he runs over there and he throws his bag in that plane and he jumps in that plane and he said, go, go, go. And the guy looks at him kind of freaked out like, wow. And he just boom, steps on it, gasses that thing, takes off up in the air. And that guy said, hey, I need you to maybe fly around the edge of it. I need you to maybe get over here on where there is no smoke so I can see it better. I need you maybe tip it so I can see better. Maybe make a swirl around there. And the guy, the pilot, looks at him. He says, why? What are we doing? He said, listen, man, I'm a photographer. I got to take pictures of this fire so that I can send them into the newspaper. And he said, photographer, I thought you was the flight instructor. Who are you saddled up with? Are you racing along, waiting to see how that's going to turn out? Are you answering the very thing that God has called you to do? This Palm Sunday, our purpose is to embrace and take a hold of our calling in this life. As we move towards Easter Sunday, that Sunday when we celebrate the risen Savior of the world, are we preparing now like never before? I want to tell you, God's got you here for a reason. I can't save you. You can. You can answer the call. You can submit to the Lordship of Jesus. You can do that where you are. And every Sunday, leadership stands up here because we can't do nothing for you but help, to answer, to guide. But we wait every Sunday right here because our prayer is that if you need answers, we can help you in the right direction. Pray with me, church. Somehow, I hope and pray, Lord, that these words from Scripture do not return void. That by bringing this out, by speaking these words, by standing here and saying it in the way that I have, somehow it is relevant and it is true and it is touching and changing. It's your words that change things, Lord. It's not me or this barn or anybody else but you. And so it is my prayer that something's happened. That we're not just showing up again. Our expectation has changed. We don't want to just receive. We want to celebrate because we have received. We want to worship the God of creation, the Christ who came and paid our sin debt to redeem us, to reconcile the world back to God. Lord, I pray next Sunday, Easter Sunday, as we celebrate you walking out of that grave, that your Father would be glorified by our worship and excited by our repentance. Lord, we pray these things and ask these things on the name, on the very authority of your Son Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
I'll fly.